Tom Carkleman, the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be overcast with a chance for some flurries. We'll have a high of about 33 degrees. Temperature-wise, around southeast Wisconsin, we're looking right now in Kenosha at 30. It's 28 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, it's also 30 degrees, 31 at this hour in Racine. It was standing room only for a community meeting at the Gateway Racine campus last night. The focus on submitting a request to the federal government to join the President's Promise Zone program and priority consideration for federal funding for poverty-related programs. State Representative Corey Mason noted that Racine came close the last time, and the key remains providing the community is united in trying to address the problems.
We see what the connections are between jobs and education, between economic development and health care, between violent crime, and quality of life, that all those things are coming together seamlessly and the community is working well together. So it's a lot to do.
Mayor John Dickert, back from the U.S. Conference of Mayors gathering in Washington, said every problem we have in this country involves poverty.
In one way or another, it just does. And there's a lot of work to do. And that's why we are blessed to have so many of you here. You know, when you look at the fact that 60% of our metro areas in this country have not recovered, yet unemployment is at almost an all-time low. 90% of the GDP, 86% of the unemployment, it's in cities. And yet we've not recovered.
A large majority of the community represented for the brainstorming session, including education, government, clergy, and social services, most important to the leadership group, concerned citizens. The application deadline for the Federal Promise Zone program is February 18th. Acceptance is a 10-year designation. The project to construct water and sewer lines along Highway V in Mount Pleasant to service future development in Caledonia takes another step forward at last night's village board meeting. The award of the construction contract plus approval of the preliminary resolution to approve the special assessment for property owners along that route in Mount Pleasant. Trustee Sunny Haven assuring the residents that the vote did not mean that all the decisions on the assessment process have been made at this point.
I read the blogs almost every day. Unfortunately, there's so much misinformation out there. I wish that people wouldn't do that, but they insist on doing it. Certainly, I, along with other board members, will look at this and do everything possible to make it as fair as possible.
Trustee Gary Feast indicating he's sure that everything that's being done is all legal, part of the process, but he says he still has some concerns about that. 5-2 was the board's votes to approve the preliminary assessment and the awarding of the construction contract for the sewer and water projects to Dorner Incorporated. The Pleasant Prairie Village Plan Commission signs off on the final site and operational plans for a second office building near their corporate campus along the interstate frontage road south of Highway Q. Final plans call for constructing a 284,000-square-foot, three-story office building. This will be very similar to Uline's existing corporate headquarters northwest of that site. Construction, scheduled to begin this spring, could be completed in August of next year. Uline initially expecting to employ some 500 people at the new corporate office building, the number eventually to grow to about 800. Racine Unified proposing a 3-year plan to improve learning climate in schools while also attempting more effective intervention with special needs students and those with behavioral issues.
We want to make sure that we offer at the school site some opportunities, maybe through a night school model where they can do credit recovery and that type of thing at the 3 comprehensive high schools as well as at the alternative location.
Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion saying the plan includes offering more training and support to district faculty and expanding programs that show promise to more schools. He said it's not the silver bullet for every possible behavior that we could address in our school district, but he added that it is a plan that we think will lend itself to really alleviating many of the major challenges that are occurring. A 49-year-old Racine man in court yesterday facing charges stemming from a home invasion and rape that occurred in December. Dexter Swanigan is accused of breaking into a house in the 1200 block of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, sexually assaulting a 69-year-old resident twice and taking money from her purse. He's also accused of threatening to kill her if she called police or was tested for DNA. Victim waited a few minutes before calling police, and Swanigan then identified as the suspect as a result of a DNA test. He's been charged with 2 counts of second-degree sexual assault, aggravated battery, burglary, and intimidation of a victim. He's actually been in custody since a few days after the assault on unrelated drug charges. The prosecutor in the suitcase killer's case in Kenosha County predicting there's a really good chance the former West Dallas cop who's pleaded guilty to the Kenosha homicide allegations will never see the light of day, even without additional charges pending in other jurisdictions. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
In Kenosha court, Stephen Zelich pleaded guilty to amended charges of reckless homicide and hiding a corpse. He had been charged with intentional homicide in the 2012 death of 19-year-old Jenny Gamez. Instead of life in prison, the 54-year-old Zelich now faces up to 55 years. He would face additional time if convicted of charges related to the death of a second woman in Minnesota and a pair of charges stemming from the discovery in Walworth County of the two abandoned suitcases that held the bodies of the victims. Deputy Kenosha County District Attorney Mike Gravely said the plea offer that Zelich accepted was the same one that was made shortly after his arrest. Gravely said he found out about Zelich's change of heart when he received a phone call from Zelich's attorney Friday night. That derailed the trial that was scheduled to start yesterday. Zelich never disputed that he'd been with the victim, saying the deaths were the result of consensual sex games gone awry. The prosecution was prepared to argue that homicide all along had been the end game. Sentencing on the Kenosha charges will be in March. Janet Hoff, AM 14. WRJN News.
A growing number of Wisconsin lawmakers in Madison, as well as the state attorney general, now backing a sexual assault amnesty law. It would let teenagers and college students off the hook if they'd been drinking but needed to report an assault.
There is no other crime that goes so underreported as sexual assault. This crime goes underreported because there are so many psychological and emotional dynamics that go into it. And removing this barrier is an important piece to giving victims confidence that they'll find a system that's ready to listen to them.
That's State Attorney General Brad Schimmel. He and supporters say this proposal may help most on college campuses where drinking often goes hand in hand with reports of assault. State Senator Bob Wirch, who represents both parts of Kenosha and Racine counties, he wants those convicted of scamming senior citizens to pay a lot more to their victims. The Summers Democrat authoring a bill that goes after the fraud and the scams that often target the elderly, including the infamous grandparent scam and those that use the IRS or Medicare to prey on their victims. Says it's a situation that needs to be addressed, and he says he developed the legislation after consulting with attorneys and some other experts.
The triple damages for fraud is patterned after bills in Oregon, California, Arizona, and Florida. So hopefully this will help stop some of the senior ripoffs and maybe help them get their money back.
It creates a civil cause of action for the financial exploitation of somebody who is elderly, incapacitates, or has certain disabilities. He's circulating the bill now for co-sponsors, hoping to introduce it in the current session. And the infamous stolen cheese story out of Germantown? It made the national news.
Willie Sutton, the famous bank robber, was once asked why he robbed banks. It was simple, he said. That's where the money was. This goes a long way to explaining why $70,000 worth of cheese was pilfered in the suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You'll be happy to know the cheese has been recovered, less happy to know that whoever stole it is still at large. How much cheese are we talking about? Well, it took a 54-foot semi-trailer to haul it away. Perhaps the thief was out looking for a semi full of crackers when the cheese was recovered. I'm Paul Harlan.